Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, thanks for joining me.
You there?
Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Hey, man. Thanks for joining. I'm having some difficulties with my computer tonight.
I understand that. I have been there many times.
It's really, really acting up on me, and it's starting to get on my nerves.
Hey, I understand.
Anyway, I didn't even get a chance to do the intro yet. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for another edition of Onyx Nights Paranormal. Bear with me tonight. Like I said, I'm having some difficulty with my computer. Got kind of a virus thing going on or malware or something. Anyway, tonight we're just going to do a kind of a free-for-all call-in. Get to talking about, you know, certain things. Like, oh, man, there's a lot to get off my chest. Dude, I just hurt my bicep a while ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm still a little loopy and still hurting from my surgery that I had last week.
Gotcha.
Right now I'm trying to post everything, the links, and I mean, I just got home like 10 minutes ago, man. So anyway, Jeff,
no
how's
problem.
Things been going with you, man?
Hectic. Everything has been, just like with you, my friend, everything has been going so hectic with me between trying to have surgery on my foot to just everything that's been going on, man, and just getting inundated with all of this garbage that's been going on lately in the cryptid world. And, of course, everybody wants your opinion, and you know as well as I do, you get probably just as many messages a day as I do with people wanting to know what you think about this show or that show or what you think about this person or that person. And, you know, I don't like to talk bad about people in general. You know, I mean, I just don't like the drama. But, man, there's just sometimes whenever you got to call a duck, you know?
Oh, I totally hear you, and I totally know exactly where you're going. You know, there was a show that was premiered last week. There was a lot of skepticism about it already because of the name of the show. I won't even name the show; you guys could probably guess.
Everybody knows what we're talking about, but we won't mention it for legality reasons.
But the show was horrible. Yeah, the show was horrible. I posted about the show, and one of the guys, I guess he is in the show. I didn't even know he was in the show, but, you know, came on and said, I'm going to lose my credibility. And the whole time I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm like, you're preaching to me about credibility, and you just made this disaster of a television show? So, yeah, I mean, you guys have listened to me long enough. You know me. Jeff, you know me better than most anybody, and you know I don't fake shit. I don't. I'm not out looking
man.
For 15 minutes of fame.
Exactly, bro. I mean, here's the thing. At some point in time, a person must ask themselves what caliber of an individual they are. Are you the type of person that will sell your soul for 30 pieces of silver? Will you sell out your friends? Will you sell out your colleagues? Will you sell out the very thing in which you love just for your 15 minutes of fame? And I'm going to tell people, these shows don't pay anything.
What
little bit of money they may offer
is it's about the egos,
yeah,
too.
These,
I mean, you know that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So these people are selling out themselves, basically. For lack of a better term, you end up prostituting yourself, not in the biblical sense, but in the metaphorical sense. You end up prostituting yourself and your beliefs for that 15 minutes of fame. And the television studios are laughing themselves all the way to the bank because they're the ones making money on it. You didn't make any money. The crew that comes down and films you, they didn't hardly make any money. But the television company, the station, the channel, the whatever you want to call them, they're the ones that are making the money because they've got a show that they didn't have to pay any of the actors the standard act fee that you pay people for a show. And so
yeah.
You end up getting these shows where you end up with a lot of guys who claim to be experts, and I've stated this many times, Brian, you've stated it, I will go to battle with anyone over this. There is no such thing as a Bigfoot expert anywhere in the world other than, at this point in time, a Bigfoot.
That's right.
Because we do not have any documented scientific data of any long-term research that has went on. We got all these people that claim they're living in the woods with Bigfoot, singing Kumbaya around the campfire, Bigfoot's coming, and every single day I'm living with Bigfoot. Bull crap. Not one of these people has produced one shred of evidence that can be verified that they, in fact, are habituating, as they call it, Bigfoot.
Well, you know,
nobody's brought forth any evidence.
Here's the thing: the same guy that got pissed off at me for blasting the show and said that I lose credibility, whatever. You know, it's the same guy. Just a week prior, was talking about getting with me and going out here researching and trying to get a yearly thing going. And it's all fine and dandy, but you know, I'm not the type of person. I'm not going to kiss anyone's ass. You know, I'm not going to kiss anyone's ass. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that something is great when it's not. You know, it's not jealousy.
Man.
It's not jealousy at all. Because I'll tell you guys something. I know for a fact how most of these shows are made. I know that there's somebody standing behind camera throwing shit in the woods, and they're telling these guys to react to it. Okay, I know.
To react to it.
Yeah. Trust me, I know how this shit's made, and I've refused to do a show like that. It's not jealousy at all, believe me. You know, it's calling it like it is. I'm not going to beat around the bush. If I think something's bullshit, it's bullshit. You know, the people who are out there, you know, doing it for real, myself, Jeff, I'm a very, very much a wilderness guy. Jeff is very much a wilderness guy. You know, those of us that do this for real and are out there in the wilderness for real all the time, we can see through all this bullshit. And you guys got to remember that. I know certain things about this show. I know certain things about this group. Jeff knows certain things about this group. We know that that's all bullshit.
Right. I mean, this certain group that we're going to remain nameless, but everybody knows who we're talking about, they have had very prominent names in the cryptozoological world, that Bigfoot world in general, that at one point in time were involved with them, but threw their hands up and left running because of their behavior, because of what they stood for, that the things that they stood for were not ethical. And so I'm not going to mention these other people's names. Yeah, the things that they were doing were, okay, I mean, let's break it down here. Here's one of the problems I had with this certain show. I am a lifelong outdoorsman, woodsman, and hunter. I have hunted every animal that just about in on the North American continent that is legal to hunt with a gun. What isn't legal to hunt with a gun, I've hunted with a camera. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going out in the woods after a creature that is purported to be 8 feet tall and taller and 500 plus pounds, which puts it in the brown bear category of size, strength, and weight, you do not go after that animal with a shotgun in the middle of the night, because it will not kill that animal unless you shoot it point blank, either in the head or the chest or somewhere like that. If you get a bad shot off on this animal with buckshot, buckshot does not leave a good trail. I've trailed many animals shot with buckshot, deer, hogs, things like that, and there was no blood whatsoever to follow, because that little round lead ball doesn't make an exit wound, and it doesn't make a big entrance wound. You don't have shock, the shock power from velocity, because it's a very slow round. So this is not something that an experienced woodsman would walk into the woods going after a huge behemoth creature. You would not go after something like that in the dark, in the middle of the night, with a shotgun.
I'm trying to control my language here, okay, guys? But on the show, they were like, well, it took somebody's chicken. It killed somebody's chicken, so we're going to go after it and kill it because it's vicious and dangerous and a threat.
It's vicious. What God, they're mean.
What the F do you expect it to do? You know, it's in the woods. It's hungry. What do you expect it to do? That's no reason to go kill something. They're not, you know what, they're not going trying to kill it to save people. They're going trying to kill it to make a name for themselves. Come on, let's fucking call it, excuse my language, let's call it what it is. You know?
But they're making it seem like they're trying to protect people whenever they were interviewed, and they're sitting there and they're saying, well, these vicious things are looking in people's windows. Just because one of these creatures is looking in your window doesn't mean that he was trying to kill you. It's because they were curious and they were looking in a window.
Hey, you know
look,
what?
People, if these creatures wanted to kill us, we would be on the bottom of the frickin' food chain, because we could not.
They could.
We couldn't even think about it. They
That's
could
right.
kill
they
us,
could,
and we
would.
Wouldn't even know they were there. I have been face to face with these things on more than one occasion. And each time, if they wanted me dead, I would have been dead. I'm a big guy.
You.
I'm a strong guy. I can fight with the best of them. I grew up fighting for everything I ever got. And I'm always packing heat. And if these things wanted me dead, they would have killed me 20 years ago.
Thank you. You guys know, Jeff, you know better than anybody. I go out there at night, in the middle of the woods by myself. You know, you've been on the phone with me.
Yeah.
I've had these things very close to me. Guys, listen, they will not do anything, and I will argue that to my death. They will not do anything but make noise to try to scare you. All this bullshit, and I'm really getting effing sick of it, all this bullshit about them attacking people and taking people and whatever, you know. It's just like any other wild animal. You corner it, threaten its young. You know, it all depends on what you take in there as to what you're going to get.
Well, look,
you know?
There's always isolated incidents, no matter what it is, whether it's human beings, whether it's animals, whether it's the family pet. There's always isolated incidents of an aggressive member of that species.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm
no
not saying
big
that
deal.
They can't,
but because
I'm not
there's,
saying they
because
can't
there's
get aggressive.
One. But what I'm saying is there's no documented case. There's no proven documented case in the past 100 years of one of these things killing anyone.
But you want me to tell you, it sells. The fear sells. Vicious killer in the woods, it sells. So you got these son of a bitches who are making up these damn stories, getting these movies deals, getting these TV deals, and they're running with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no moral high ground with them.
Exactly. I mean, they don't care because let me be honest with you. These television studios, they don't believe in Bigfoot to begin with. They don't believe in UFOs to begin with. They don't believe in the paranormal. They don't believe in any of this, okay? What they do believe in is that
it's
people
ratings.
Will pay to see it. People, manufacturers will buy the airtime to advertise their product during that show's time slot. And if that show gets enough viewers, gets big enough share, then the bigger the advertisers become, the more money is made, and that's all they care about. And that's just business. I mean, I'm not downing them for it. I'm not knocking them for it. That's their job, is to make money. So the company, the broadcasting company, I hold no ill will towards, because they're just doing what they do. But the ones that I do hold a little ill will towards are the so-called researchers, and this is very, very funny because I use that term so loosely, because I meet so many people that claim to be researchers that don't know what a barred owl sounds like, how many different sounds a barred owl can make, how many different sounds a coyote can make, how many different sounds a freaking tree frog can make. But yet they're out in the woods saying, "I heard Sasquatch."
Well,
really?
here's the truth to that. On a lot of these shows, guys, I'll tell you straight up. On a lot of these shows, they're not in the woods. They're in somebody's backyard that may be thickly wooded. They're not 10 miles deep in the woods. You know, and that's not all the shows. You know, there's a few like what's that? Bill Brock, Mountain Monsters Underground.
Mm-hmm.
That show's legit. I mean, you can't fake that. They're in a cave. There's real danger there. You know, and I have a lot of respect for Bill. He takes what he does seriously.
Hey, and I think something else about Bill. Bill's a great guy, man. I mean, a couple of times a week, usually, I mean, he just shoots me a message saying, "Hey, man, how you doing?" You know, or, "Hey, I saw a post you made, and here's my opinion on it." You know, and we may disagree, but he just shoots me a message just between me and him, and I'm like, you know what, that's a pretty cool guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, Bill's a great guy. I mean, I talk to Bill pretty much every day. It's, you know, and it's not about that. That's not why I'm sitting here saying his show. Watch the show. I mean, he tries his hardest to keep it as real and serious and legit as possible, you know? I'm not going to do, I mean, you know, Jeff, I'm not going to do a stupid show where I'm faking stuff, and I'm just not. You know, I went down today, and I had an interview with a news reporter, and, you know, they were talking about, like, getting a festival going or something like that around here, and I said, well, that's fine and dandy if it's based on real evidence. You know, I told them straight up, I said, I'm not about to fake anything. I don't care how much money it looks to bring in to myself or to the county. You know, I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
And,
I agree.
I stand by that. You know, I'm not saying that these things, you know, Sasquatch, I'm not saying that they can't be vicious and aggressive. Okay. I'm sure they can, just like any other wild animal. But like any other wild animal, their first tactic is going to be to avoid you, to run away, or to make noise to
drive
you
away. Right. Their nature in general is to be shy and to be unaggressive. Because here's the thing, if they were aggressive and they were really wanting something to eat, every person in this country that's got a dog in a pen in their front yard or chained up in their front yard or whatever.
Exactly.
That would be like an ice cream cone on a stick to them. You'd wake up in the morning and Fluffy would be missing out of his pen or off his chain or whatever, because one of these creatures would have walked up, broke its neck, and walked away with it. Our homes, do you think that do you think that a sheetrock wall or a inch and a half, 2 inch thick wooden door with glass in it is going to stop one of these things from coming in if they were aggressive, if they were as vicious as these people want you to believe they are? I mean, I've lived in the woods my entire life. I mean, from the time I was old enough to, for my father to take some diapers and some formula and take me with him at 6 months of age, he started taking it. And by the time I was 9 or 10 years old, I was as skilled a woodsman as most grown men. And my parents would allow me to, we lived on a 600-acre ranch, or farm, or whatever you want to call it. We didn't really have raised cattle. We just hunted on the place and lived. But they would, you know, I'd take a tent and a sleeping bag and go in the back 40 somewhere and pitch it and camp all by myself. My dad would come back there and check on me.
Jeff, you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. But as I say, you know, my dad, he would come and check on me a little bit. But, you know, if something was out there wanting to hurt me, I would have been hurt.
That's exactly right, man. You know, if it was the way we were meant to believe, then no one would be able to go hunting. No one would be able to do anything in the woods. You know, it's just, it's not like that. It's not real. These shows are not fucking real. There I go again. They're not real. You know, you want to find out what,
exactly,
what really, you want to know what real research is like. A lot of times you're sitting out there doing nothing because nothing's going on. You know, you damn sure are not going to, I'm not going to call Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, bring your camera over here. Go out there, just throw a dart at a freaking map and go out there, and there'll be a Sasquatch there. There'll be a cryptid there. It doesn't happen. It does not happen.
Right, and these shows make you want to believe that every single time they go in the woods, they get a response. Every single time they go in the woods, something throws a rock at them, something throws a stick at them, something howls at them, and it's always a Bigfoot. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Out of, say, 50 trips into the woods, I may have 10 trips where something good happens. The rest of the time, I've got recordings and things of animals that after I sit here and listen to them, I identify them as known animals, or,
you know,
it's stuff that, you know.
It's like today when I was talking to the reporter, you know, I'm like, you know, people watch these shows and they think that's real and they think that's what you do. First of all, Sasquatch are not as vocal as what these shows want you to think. They're not. They'll do a wood knock. They might slam a log against the ground. They're not as, you're not going to get a howl every time you're out there. It just doesn't happen. You know, and all this wood knocking to get their attention or howling to get their attention, it doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It makes them shut up. You know, you're
calling.
And I
tell you what, if you do get a wood knock, your session is probably over for the night, because after that wood knock, 9 times out of 10, they vacate the area.
That's a warning sign. You know, I've seen it so many times. Why would I go out there? Why would I, you know, like finding Bigfoot? Why would I go out there and do calls and do wood knocks? That's basically warning them, hey, there's a human here, and then expect to get
exactly
a response to that. It's ass backwards. You know, it's stupid.
One of my pet peeves, and people disagree with me on this, and that is perfectly fine, because their research methods are not mine and mine aren't theirs, but I totally get irked whenever I hear people call blasting with calls that they downloaded off the internet, that this is supposed to be a Bigfoot from Pennsylvania or from the Northwest or from this, that, and the other, and that they don't have a clue what that sound is saying.
Yes.
Now, if you've got a recorded sound from your area, that's one thing. But when you're playing a sound from 600 miles away, we don't know what that's saying. And I know from hunting, all my years of hunting animals, just with deer. Deer are very, very vocal animals. Most people don't know how vocal deer are. Deer have a very extensive vocabulary. And if you were to play, or, you know, you have grunt calls and you have all these different calls that you can use with deer while you're hunting them. If you use the wrong call at the wrong time, you scare those deer away. If you use a mating call away because they know it's not right, it's wrong.
I'm hoping I don't lose you. I'm getting some internet crap going on.
Okay, that's okay. If we do, we'll back up and punt.
I hear you.
But what I'm trying to get at is, that's fine if that's the way they want to research. I just don't do it that way. But if you go out in the woods and you start howling and you start beating stuff against a tree and you're out in the middle of a public park and you start getting something howling back at you over there, don't be surprised if it's not another somebody.
Yes.
Because everybody watches these shows. And if you've got a big group of people and you're down in a park and everybody knows you're there, camped out and everything, and you go start howling in the woods, don't be surprised if people aren't messing with you and somebody a quarter of a mile over there isn't sitting on the tailgate with two buddies drinking beer, screaming back at you.
Joe Blow sitting at the next campsite, he might have watched one too many episodes of Finding Bigfoot, so he might think he's an instant Bigfoot caller, and he might be calling back to you, thinking he's actually doing what he saw on television. You know, when I go out there,
and you know,
when I go out there, I'll make my presence known just by walking normally through the area, and you generally get responses. Yes. I've had so much more responses and interaction that way than ever doing any of that other shit.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times they're way more curious whenever you don't overtly try to communicate with them and do things. If you're acting like someone that's just out in the woods, maybe walking around or coon hunting at night or something like that, if you're just out there walking, they're way more curious about you than if you're out there screaming and hollering.
Yeah, because you here's the thing. To them, you being out there is against the norm. You know, it's not normal for humans to be out in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night. So that alone is going to make them like, what the hell is going on?
Exactly.
You know, it's like I said previously, you know, sitting at a camp and setting the recording out and expecting to get all this audio on it. No. Why would a Sasquatch just say, okay, I'm going to walk up to this recorder and just scream my head off for no damn reason? No. It's making these noises because you, a human presence, are there and they don't want you there. It's not the recording they don't want there. They don't know what the hell that is. It's you. You're
right.
Human. Your human presence is what's going to get them to react.
Exactly. They can smell you a mile away. I mean, they've got the ability to identify you, smell you, to know that you're in that area. They can hear better than you. They can see better than you. They can smell better than you. Everything they've got is better than anything you've got.
Let's take a squirrel for
example. You don't necessarily need to be screaming at them in order for them to know you're there.
A squirrel can be out in the tree, right? And it's not making any noise. When it sees you, it's going to start barking. You know? Why would it you understand what I'm saying there? It has no reason to bark other than you. You know, it's not like a squirrel's going to go up to a car and start barking at it. You know, it's the same thing with Bigfoot with these audio recorders. You know, it could care less. It's like these people think that they're like, you know, like American Idol or whatever, that the all audio recording is a microphone that they're sitting out there, and the Sasquatch is just like, oh, it's my turn to shine. You know, I'm going to go and, you know, scream into the audio recorder. No.
Exactly, man. And like I say all the time, I mean, when we're out there standing there screaming, here's something you never think about. If you're playing a recording or if you're screaming a vocalization, you have no clue whether you're telling that animal, I'm here to kill you, or run, or, hey, I'm in the mood for love, which you hope he doesn't show up and want to be your special friend.
The only time that any kind of audio was blasted in my presence was when I was in foul. And we did get a response to that. I posted it. You heard it yourself. That's the only time I've ever. I don't even own any of those videos or the equipment to blast it. So you know, I'm still kind of on the fence about all that.
But you know, like I said, you know, I'm not doubting that people get responses, but being a researcher, being a cryptozoologist, my deal is I'm not trying to get an audio recording personally. I'm not trying to get an audio recording of something a quarter of a mile away. I'm not trying to get a fleeting glimpse of something that is undistinguishable as it moves through the bushes.
Right.
I'm trying to get that audio recording of something that's 20 feet away from me while I'm looking at it. I'm trying to get that audio recording of something that is so close to me that the hair stands up on my neck.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get that visual of something standing 10, 20 feet in front of me. I want to get that picture. I want to get that video of something that is standing there, high definition, right there, boom, I got the picture, I got the audio, and that's what I'm at.
It's like that roar that me and Melissa had, you know, back in March. You know, unfortunately, I didn't have my audio on at that time. I wish I would have, because that would have been so perfect. But, you know, I think the difference between myself and I think you also is, you know, we're not out to prove to the rest of the world that these things are real. You know, for me, and based on some of the things, conversations that you and I have had in private, for us, it's more about the experience than anything else.
I love doing it. I mean, I really love. I'm the type of person. I played a lot of sports growing up and everything, and I always loved a challenge. And I love an intellectual challenge as well as I love a physical challenge. But I have found that this is something I'm very passionate about. It's something that I know exists because I've seen it. And yes, I want to, in a way, I want to prove that this exists, because I would love for them to be protected in a way. I mean, that way people like this show, even though I don't think they will ever actually find one of these creatures to end its life, but you never know. A blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while. So, you know, there could be that, and I would hate for that to happen. I would hate for take this for instance. I know some people say that there are hundreds of thousands of these creatures living throughout North America. I do not believe that. If there were that many, then we would see them all the time. They would be, you know, as plentiful as the deer are in the woods. And we see those, we get those on camera and all that. In order for them to be as elusive as they are, their numbers cannot be nearly that big. So that said, my estimate would be somewhere maybe in the tens of thousands of animals throughout North America, not hundreds of thousands.
Right.
So that being the case, they are an endangered species. I mean, just common sense ought to tell you that they're an endangered species, because we don't we don't see them. Oh, there's one. You walk out your back door and there's one, you know, laying under your shade tree, you know. So I really think these creatures should be respected and protected, and we should not allow people to just run around the woods blasting every bush that moves. And, you know, the show the other night, I know you watched it and I watched it, and like I said, we're not mentioning the name, but during that show, according to them, they shot one that night. Now, the first show that was on the air, never been on the air before. They haven't done anything. Boom. All of a sudden, they've already encountered one. They've already shot one. But we didn't find any blood. We didn't find any evidence, so we must have missed it. Well, the guy shot at it with a shotgun. And anyone that knows anything about a shotgun, you're shooting one of three types of ammunition out of a shotgun. You're shooting bird shot or squirrel shot, which is a very small pellet, which you would never shoot at an animal that big because it wouldn't do any damage. It would just barely go under the skin. You're shooting buckshot, which is usually a double alt or triple alt, which shoots projectiles about, I think double alt is a 32 caliber lead projectile coming out. Okay. Or you're shooting a slug. Out of a smoothbore shotgun, a slug is the most inaccurate thing you could be shooting, and you'd be no better off than if you were out there, you know, in the dark trying to shoot a rifle with no sights on it. So odds are they're shooting buckshot. And buckshot doesn't leave a blood trail. On most 90% of the animals I've ever hunted with buckshot or ever been involved with that have been hunted with buckshot did not leave a blood trail until quite a distance after it had been shot. So this guy supposedly shot at one, and they looked for about 2 minutes and then said, oh, you must have missed it. What if this guy didn't miss? What if he really did encounter something? What if he did shoot it? And what if it crawled off and died? Well, now we're looking at an older case where we know they have already stated that they shot one, wounded it, and it got away from them some years in the past because they supposedly got blood and had a DNA sample testing done. So now you're telling me that these people have possibly shot two Bigfoot creatures, and both of them have crawled off into the bushes somewhere to suffer and die, and they served no purpose whatsoever.
Jeff,
science didn't get them. We didn't get them.
Jeff, I'm gonna have to actually reboot. So I'll be about 10 minutes. I'll be back, guys. We'll be back on the air in about 10 minutes.
All right, just text me whenever you get back on, brother.
All right, man. All right. All right, guys, we are back. I apologize for that. Like I said, I'm having some computer issues. I got to get Jeff back on air with me. Sorry about that. We were having a really, really good discussion there. You know, these shows, and you know, again, I apologize for my... I'm really adamant about this. I'm really adamant about what I do. I take what I do very, very seriously, and, you know, a lot of these shows, and I think what really, really peed me off more than anything about it was this guy saying that I lose my credibility because I said that his show was a joke. So, Jeff, you back with me?
Yeah, I'm back, man.
Sorry about that. Guys, if you're trying to call in...
No problem.
I wasn't able to see anyone previously because, you know, my whole screen froze up. But if you guys want to call in, you can call in now. The number is 323-580-5703. You know, Jeff, one thing that got me about that particular show is these guys are out there running around looking for Bigfoot. They're trying to shoot it. And they were all running around in these big-ass ghillie suits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not an accident waiting to happen, you know?
Yeah, you're running around looking like Bigfoot, trying to shoot Bigfoot with 10 of your buddies all dressed like Bigfoot. Yeah.
That's exactly my point. You know, God, you know, the idiocy.
And you take a shot. Hold up. And you take a shot indiscriminately at something you think was a Bigfoot creature, but you can't swear to it because it got away from you. So you have no idea who or what got shot at. I mean, I'm sure it was for show's sake. I'm sure nothing actually got shot at. But, I mean, come on, man. I've been in the woods hunting, and I'm going to tell you what. Even in the daylight, sometimes you got to look twice to make sure not just that what you're shooting at is what you need to be shooting at, but that everything on the other side of what
let's be honest, though. A lot of times, nine times out of ten on these shows, the guns aren't even loaded.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, come on, let's
be
honest.
But it still shows the wrong image, in my opinion, being a Second Amendment supporter, being a very proud gun owner and hunter. I do not like the image that it portrays whenever we have these guys running around the woods and being, in my opinion, unsafe with firearms. And you got little kids watching these shows, and these little kids are getting the wrong idea about, you know, guns. They're getting the wrong idea about what you do with guns and how you act with guns. And, you know, I honestly think that if that guy shot at something, I think they should have edited that out of the show. I think it was poor judgment on everybody's part leaving that in the show or choosing to put that in the show, just in my opinion, because, I mean, just let's be honest with you. I know myself personally. If I was out in the woods and I was after a creature like that and I was going to shoot it, I would know exactly what caliber of weapon and the proper sights and the proper load of ammunition and everything that I would need in order to take down a creature of that size. And believe me, if I shot it and
hilarious.
I hit it, it would be laying on the ground. I got you. What?
Jeff.
You there? Yeah.
Dude, I just got disconnected
from
my own show.
Are you there?
I just got disconnected. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Dude, I just got disconnected from my own show, man.
That happens to me quite often.
What the hell? Yeah, the whole Skype thing was like there's a connection problem between you and... Oh, what a week. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, about to go crazy.
I understand. I totally understand.
I probably missed half of what you were just saying, but, you know... So anyway, let me catch everyone up on what's going on. I got, I'm forming the team here with me. With any luck, I'm not going to be going out solo very much anymore. I've got Lana Cochran, wonderful person. She's going to be joining the team, and I've got Tim Pritchett. Tim is he's a former police officer, and he's actually a probation officer right now. He's worked for the police here in my local town. He's worked for the police on Mississippi State campus. He's going to be joining too, and we're all, you know, we're going to be getting together soon and going out and doing our thing. We're going to be delving a little bit more into the whole ghost thing also. So you guys are going to be seeing a little bit of everything in the next couple of months. But, yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, I had shoulder surgery last week, which is why I wasn't able to be on. I've got 4 different sets of staples, 12 staples all together, 4 different locations. My bicep muscle was cut and reattached. A lot of work in my shoulder itself. So, yeah, I'm still pretty stiff and sore. And I just think I pulled something right before I got on the air in my bicep area. Even now, it feels like someone punched me in my bicep and, you know, gave me a frog in it. But I go to the doctor tomorrow, hopefully to get the staples removed. So I'll mention it to him and have him take a look at it. But, I mean, that's, you guys probably remember, I mean, I was going out there pretty much every night, going out in the woods, and that's the only thing that slowed me up is this shoulder injury. And I went through one surgery before with it, and it was a botched job, and the doctor just dicked me around, and, oh, everything's fine, and, well, it turns out everything wasn't fine, so I had to have another surgery with a different doctor just to get everything done correctly. So, yeah, it is what it is. We got a caller calling in. Let's see who this is. Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. This is Johnny Holmes. He's my buddy and partner over there in Northeast Texas. Sorry, guys. I had to take some pain meds. What's going on, Johnny?
Not much. Just been out running around until I come in to see what was going on with y'all.
Now, Johnny, it's interesting that you call in, because Johnny last week, he totally refused to watch the show altogether. And, you know, I told Johnny, I said, well, I'm going to watch it because, you know, I want to see what it's about. And that way, if it comes up, that I can discuss it and you know, rightfully discuss it, because having watched it, I'll know what I'm talking about, you know. And, man, it wasn't 20, 30 minutes into the show when I said, you know what, this show is crap. It didn't take long at all.
If you went into watching the show thinking it was going to be crap, it darn sure didn't disappoint you.
Well, you know, like I told Johnny, I said, you know, I'm not for the concept that they're trying to push, but I want to be able to give my opinion on it without being biased or without being, you know, without having not
an
watched
honest,
it.
You wanted to give an honest critique. You wanted to be able to give an honest critique of the show.
Because I knew that sooner
or
later.
That was my main reason.
And it came up a lot sooner. I mean, it really came up, literally. I mean, I thought I was going to have to run to the bathroom. That's how bad the show was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it came up. I wanted to just puke. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? But, you know, and guys, I'm going to get a lot of heat for this shit. I'm telling you, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. But you know what? I don't care. You know, it's like Jeff said, you know, you gotta call it like it is, and that's what I'm doing. I'm calling it like it is. And you know, the whole why would anyone want to go and kill a Bigfoot? You know, why? Other than to make money or to get the notoriety. You know, and they can sit here and say, oh, it's so we can prove it. Fucking, it's real. Bullshit. You know, they can say that to their blue in the face. Bullshit.
Here's a quaint little scenario for you that I often wonder about with these guys. Okay, you're out in the woods. You see one of these creatures. You shoot it. You wound it. You track it. You trail it. You come up on it. And this creature is not dead. It is actually just incapacitated, but it's going to die in, say, 20, 30 minutes. What are they going to do? Are they going to load this animal onto some sort of a vehicle to carry it to a doctor or veterinarian or something like that on staff or whatever to try to save this creature? Are they going to cut its throat right there and let it bleed out?
Well, come on. If we're to go by their first episode, it's obvious that they don't give a shit about wounding an animal and leaving it to suffer.
Exactly. You know, I mean, what I'm getting at.
I mean, that was obvious on the first show. I mean, even a skilled hunter does not hunt like that.
No, you know? And I'll tell you what. If we shoot at an animal late in the evening and we look for what you call spore, if you look for the spore, if you look for the blood or whatever, and you don't see any, and it's late in the evening, you come back the next morning when the sun is out, whenever you're able to see really well, and then you start looking for signs on the ground. And often you don't find blood, but you will find where something took off running whenever you shot at it. And you can tell the direction that it's going, the speed that it's going. And so you start going in that general direction, and you follow the sign. You follow the trail that any good tracker worth his salt can do. And you track this animal, and you go. Well, if you lose all signs whatsoever, then it is a common practice, and everybody that has ever hunted knows this, you do a zigzag pattern, and you go another couple of hundred yards at least doing a zigzag pattern, and you come back and you move over 50 or 75 feet, and you do another zigzag pattern, and you do this for quite a big ways, because it is your ethical responsibility to the animal in order to make every attempt to make 100% sure that you didn't hit it and make a bad shot, and this animal's laying out there suffering and dying.
Well, you know, hold on a second. Johnny spent 5 days out there in the wilderness with me. Johnny knows what I'm about, and you know, it's not what these guys are trying to sell. That's for damn sure.
Exactly.
You know, they're out there, and you know, it's like you said. First of all, you and I both know that if they do ever shoot a Bigfoot, if they do ever kill a Bigfoot, they're not going to get out of the forest with it. Either the locals are going to take over, the wildlife management's going to take over, or there's going to be other Sasquatch around that's going to take matters into their own hands. Yeah, and they're damn. It's just like I told Bobo and Cliff with Finding Bigfoot. They are never going to get close enough to one with that big ass camera crew and audio guys, and you know, we really don't have anything to worry about. You know, and it's like I said, you know, if Finding Bigfoot can't find Bigfoot, how do they expect to be able to kill a Bigfoot? You know, don't you have to find something before you can kill it?
Exactly. And
who else is on the show, Brian? Is that Jeff?
Yes, me.
That's me, my friend.
Jeff Stewart.
Okay. That's what I thought. I want to make sure, but my comment is like Jeff said earlier, if you shoot one and it walks off and you don't kill it and it's going to die 20 or 30 minutes later and you come up on it and find it, I bet it ain't going to be by itself.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Johnny was
with me. And
then
are you prepared?
When I mentioned earlier about doing the call blasting and getting those screams back, Johnny was the one that was with me in the truck. It was just me and Johnny whenever that thing was screaming.
And I'm going to tell you something. Are these guys prepared if they do shoot one, wound it, and walk up on it, and say it's a family group, say there are five of them there, and say they've shot the big alpha male, and there's a couple of younger females and two or three adolescents and maybe an infant there, are they prepared to kill every single one of them? Because they're going to be defending their downed family member.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. Why?
Yeah.
Why would you want to kill one? I mean, I wouldn't. You know, I've gotten real close to
them. Hey, if one of them attacks me, if I'm out in the woods, I'm always armed.
Well, yeah, that's
and if one of them
story.
Attacks me, so be it. You know, so be it. It's survival of the fittest. It's me against it. I'm going to do my best to walk out of the woods alive. But I'm going to tell you something. I have been face-to-face with these things on more than one occasion. I have been armed every time I've been face-to-face with them. They've never once been aggressive. They've never once showed any sign of aggression.
Thank you.
The first time, the creature, all it wanted to do was get away from me. It walked away from me slowly, looking at me the whole time, and walked away from me slowly until it got to where it knew I could no longer see it, and then it ran away. The second time, the thing even looked at me and kind of smirked at me just a little bit, almost playfully. It was there was no aggression in the eyes. You know,
every
you can look at an animal and tell whether there's aggression in its eyes.
Every time that I have seen or had interaction, and when I say interaction, I'm talking about audio, I'm talking about them being around me. I've never felt the instant desire to kill them. It's always been, wow, I would love to be with them. That's my reaction. I would love
to
be
with them. And I'm going to tell you something else. Proof that these guys that are on the show have never seen one themselves, whenever they're talking about it being a monkey, whenever they're talking about DNA coming back and it being a monkey DNA and all this kind of stuff, if you ever see one face-to-face, you will never in your life say that it was a monkey that you were looking at. You will not. Because it's not a monkey, dude. It's as much different from a monkey as you and I are different from a monkey.
Oh, you know, it's like the interview I had today, the lady, and believe me, I made a believer out of her by the time I left, and by the time I got home, she had then sent me ads on Facebook, she asked me what I thought they were, if I thought they were some kind of animal, and I told her, I said, you know, anyone who's really, truly had interactions with these things will tell you they're not an animal, you know, they're a type of person. You know,
they're no more an animal than you or I are an animal.
She asked
and they're just as much an animal
were.
As you and I.
She asked me what I thought they were. And without going into the hows, you know, I told her, I said, well, I believe that they're one of the first hominid species that was here on this planet long before we ever got here. You know, and they didn't go extinct. As many of the scientists try to claim that so many creatures did go extinct, we're finding out today that a lot of them never did go extinct at all. And I think that Sasquatch is one of them as well. I mean, come on, man. They live in a pristine environment. They don't breathe all these chemicals that we breathe on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, everything from your air freshener in your house, you know, to the stuff you dust with, you know, they're not breathing all that shit. They're out there in a pristine environment. They're not eating all
That's
this
right.
crappy processed food like we're eating. You know, they're living a better life in many ways than we are.
You know, here's a prime example. Anyone who has ever been a smoker and has quit will tell you that in a very short period of time, they can smell things they hadn't smelled in years. They can taste things they hadn't tasted in years.
You're talking to one right now. You're talking to somebody that's trying to quit right now. You know, so
and
I mean,
what I'm saying, it just goes
I can
to show
you
how much
yeah.
we, as modern human beings, have destroyed our hearing, our vision, our taste buds, and our sense of smell. We have ruined all of that, and we have lost something that we had many, 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 many centuries ago, that sixth sense almost, that we probably had at one time. When we were living out in the woods, like so many Native American tribes, my ancestors did, they had that sixth sense, that awareness about them in nature.
Well, the night after we got those calls, Johnny and I, we returned, and everybody wanted to return with us. We returned, and I went walking, and little young guy, 16, 17, Mason, I believe his name was, he came with me. It was he and I. We went walking, didn't really use our headlamps. We're just going by the moonlight, and we set out there. And, you know, I'm talking to him, and I'm schooling him on, you know, what not to worry about, what to do. And I tell him, I said, the best thing to do, believe it or not, is close your eyes. You know, now we're about a mile down this gravel road, Johnny, and we're sitting there in the dark. And I tell him, I said, just close your eyes, because all your other senses, your hearing will improve. If you just close your eyes when you're out there. And he was surprised that it was factual. And he's like, well, how does that happen? I'm like, because especially in the dark, your eyes are trying to overcompensate, you know, to make sense and see light that isn't really there. So if you just close your eyes, your hearing improves, everything improves, and It kind of goes hand in hand with what you were saying about how we've damaged, you know, a lot of our senses.
Yeah. And I mean, these creatures are out there. Go ahead, Johnny. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know if it's a sixth sense or what, but when me and Brian went out there that Friday night, I wasn't terrified or anything, but I just had a feeling, you know, that we were, that something bad was going to happen, you know, or that, well, maybe I was scared a little bit, but not terrified, but
we
anyway,
reached
I had a feeling.
We reached a point in the road, and Johnny's like, man, I got a bad feeling. And what was so ironic mm-hmm. about it was that same point that we reached in that road going back there was where we were getting the screams coming from.
Yeah, and I didn't, yeah. you know, and wanted to get out and walk around and all that stuff, and I just didn't want to get out of the truck. And we just sat there with the windows pulled down and stuff, and usually I'm not like that. And then the next night when we went back, I didn't have that feeling at all, and we didn't hear anything. So I don't know if that's connected some way, but every time I get that feeling, I've had some kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I understand that.
I mean, when we first got back there and parked, we were hearing screams, and we were hearing a dog, you know, barking. And a little bit later, the screams were much further down, and the dog was also much further down. So we really think that this dog, and if you listen to that audio, and I know you did because you told me about it, you can hear the dog barking over the screams. So, the dog was obviously following this thing.
Yeah, that's just a
what?
That's a strange area anyway.
Do what now, Johnny?
I said that was just a strange area anyway.
Yeah, and,
I mean even during the day when we go over there, it was pretty wild.
We kept hearing what sounded like rocks hitting these old metal oil tanks or something like that. I actually picked up those on my audio, Johnny. The rocks hitting, and you could hear it real, real clear. And You yourself picked up an audio you mentioned to me.
Yeah, I got that. We hung that recorder back in the trench back behind the cap area, and I don't know what it is. I keep listening to it, and I still haven't figured it out. But 5 or 10 minutes after we left from hanging that, there's tapping on it, like someone's tapping on the recorder with a pencil or something. And it's not a constant tap, 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 tap. Just a couple of taps here and one there, and then a couple later. Like something around, hanging from that tree.
It's like something kind of around
or pushing it up against a tree or something.
One of the funniest incidents was Johnny and I had went walking, and shortly after we left the camp, I did a manual Sasquatch call, and we kind of forgot about it because we, you know, went about further back and everything. But the next day, Johnny was listening to the audio, and he got all excited. He's like, I got one. turns out it was me. It was my call.
Yeah. That was a bummer.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
Well, that's what we do. You know, we spend half the time trying to debunk whatever we hear on there as whatever it could have been, you know, besides the Sasquatch.
Exactly. I mean,
it's like it's happened. I don't know what's doing that yet. I keep listening to it, but it's really weird. I'll cut out a little section to send to you guys, let you hear it, see what you think.
Well, I mean,
that's what I try to explain to so many people whenever they ask about, you know, what I do and everything. You know, I try to tell them, you know, I spend the majority of my time debunking my own data. You know, you don't have time to debunk it when you're out there in the woods. You've got time to record it, or you've got time to find the tracks. You've got time to collect your samples or whatever. But you don't have, when you get home and you're sitting here watching TV night after night, the family's in there doing stuff, I'm off in here listening to my stuff, and I'm comparing it against files I have of known animal sounds and classifying it and debunking my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of sounds go on while we were out there, a lot around camp. We had a lot of things going on. I mean, Johnny can tell you there's a lot of places I wanted to go to and get to, and for one reason or another, it just didn't happen. But, you know, we heard some tree crashing around camp. We heard one tree fall very, 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 very slowly, and it was very suspicious. And then we were out in the field. There was a crash across the field from us that David Ford and I went and checked out. Couldn't see anything, but the next day, during the daylight, we went over there. We could see that what we thought was real thick woods was only maybe a 10-foot berm, and on the other side of that, it was all open and flat and clear. So it's very possible that something could have been hot sitting back there, you know, hiding on the other side of that berm from us. And that would have been a good place. Me and David talked about going set up some chairs back there and just sitting. Yeah, that would have been a good place to investigate.
Yeah. That whole area is good. I mean, we have something happen every time we go there. Really, really cool. But I'm trying to get something together for a couple of weeks from now, and maybe up in Oklahoma. I hear there's a lot of stuff going on up there, so I go check it out.
Yeah, I've got Lana I'm supposed to get with Lana sometime this weekend, get a game plan, fill her in on where we're at and where we're going. And Tim Pritchett, everybody calls him Tinker, so I'll just call him Tinker. Tinker, he's supposed to get with me at some times. Those guys are more into the graveyard, haunted house, ghost type things. But I have no doubts that once I get them out there experiencing what I'm experiencing with these Sasquatch, that they'll be all for it.
Absolutely.
Because I've done the ghost thing, and I'll tell you what, I'd rather be in the woods, you know, looking for Sasquatch any day over a ghost.
Yeah, I'd like to do that thing maybe twice, but that'd be about it.
Well, I mean, it's good to experience it. It's good to do it. You know, believe me, it's a lot more boring than doing Sasquatch research. You know, ghost hunting is just a lot more boring. And I just love being out in the woods at night, man. It's just so awesome. And I took some pain pills, so I'm probably getting a little dopey and loopy, but yeah, you know, I just love being out there, man. I can't express to people enough how awesome it is being out there at night. I mean, Johnny, when we went back there to that cul-de-sac, man, it was a bright moon. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
And a lot of people, they don't know that. They don't realize all that. Because human society, for the most part, has kind of boxed itself in.
Yes, we have.
You know, we think there's safety in numbers living in cities. Huh, whatever. You know, go for it. I'm perfectly fine living out here in the woods. You know, I don't have to worry about half the crime and disease and crap that the city people have to worry about.
Exactly.
You know, so we've kind of, like I said, we've kind of boxed ourselves in and created our own little prisons, if you will, you know. And the one thing about prisons is when shit hits the fan, there's not too many places to run.
Right. Exactly, man. Exactly. Hey, Brian. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I have got to run, man. I have enjoyed it.
Yeah, I probably should be going too. I need to get some rest.
I've got a couple of things I've got to do before we hit the old hay. It's homecoming this weekend. My son's got his big homecoming football game, and he's doing great. He's already getting calls from colleges interested in him playing college football. So I got to go, and me and him got to do a little sitting down, a little talking about things before he gets into bed. So.
Cool.
I hear you. I hear you, buddy. Thank you guys for
Johnny?
Thank you guys for calling in.
Yep.
Tim Ford,
yeah,
Johnny, we still got to get together, brother.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm going to try to do something next couple of weeks, and then I'll let you kind of dictate it since you know about the hunting and all the stuff that's going on at the time. So
next week,
but we'll get
next
something.
Week,
Tim Ford.
Next week, guys, I'm going to have Chad and John from that show Ghost Stalkers.
Oh, good.
That new show Ghost Stalkers, yeah, they're going to be on next week. I was supposed to have Jeff Mudgett on, but with my computer issues, you know, I wasn't able to get and read his book, and I just didn't feel like that would be fair to him, you know, to have him on without me having at least read, you know, the book that we were going to be talking about. So we postponed that.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to that because, you know, I am a very huge aficionado on serial killers. That is, I've written a few papers on serial killers, and H.H. Holmes is one of my, I don't want to say favorite serial killers. Now, I don't actually have favorites. I don't like any, but he is one of the, he's one of the most diabolical.
Well, yeah, that's Jeff Mudge's great grandfather, I believe.
Yes.
But we're gonna get him back on. It's not, you know, it's no big deal. He'll definitely
often,
be back on.
I look forward to it.
I just gotta get a hold of
it. I used to hang out with one, Jeff. Did you hear me, Jeff?
That ain't good. Yeah,
no,
that ain't good.
I didn't know that's what he did at the time, but I found out by seeing him get arrested on the news.
That's wild.
I'll PM you about that sometime.
Hey,
yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a good story to talk about around the campfire.
You could have filled me in on that. You could have filled me in on that information before I stayed in the tent with you.
Well, I didn't say I was the killer. I said I hung out with him.
Yeah, well, I don't know you. Yeah, you hung out with him.
He's already been prosecuted and executed, so.
Damn, man.
We're cool.
Awesome.
World.
All right, guys. Well, Brian, Johnny, love everybody. Talk to y'all later.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem, babe.
All right.
We'll
I'll talk to
you
all. Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night.